Amen. All right, grab your Bibles. Let's look in Matthew's Gospel there, the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5 and verse 7. These blessed attitudes that Jesus is teaching his followers, these are the distinguishing characteristics of the people of God. And there's some privileges that go along with it when we live our lives this way and look like a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And so it distinguishes us, of course, from the world, but it helps to remind us we are born again, we are saved, and as we are different from them, God says, listen, I am going to bless you in this way. These are beatitudes, they're blessings, they're blessed attitudes that we'll have. And so I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of God on my life. Well, if I want the blessing of God, I need to live my life the way he prescribes in his word, and his grace enables me to do. And it started, of course, with a blessed attitude about ourselves, right? Towards ourselves. We're broke, right? Blessed are those who are poor, right? We started there, poor in spirit particularly. An understanding of our sin, we're broken. Blessed are those who mourn, they shall be comforted. Blessed are those that are submissive, right? They are meek, yielded to the will of the Lord, surrendered to him. Blessed are those who are seeking to be sanctified. We hunger, we thirst for righteousness because we realize we haven't done it and that we need to do the right thing. That's what we've seen. Those four attitudes. Now, these next four we're going to start talking about have to do oftentimes with our relationships with others around us. And the one we get here tonight is in verse 7. And that really has to do a lot of times with what we do with other people around us, right? We can be pursuing being right with God, and I don't know if you realize this, the world isn't doing that, right? They're not all pursuing that, and sometimes as a result, they do what's wrong. And what do you do when someone wrongs you? I mean, we already saw what Micah said, and that's carried over, I believe, here. You know, if we're pursuing the right thing, blessed are those, notice the order here, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and then blessed are the merciful, right? That's the order of Micah, right? Do justly, love mercy, right? And then walk humbly. You see this picture, this relationship, and it really that is something we need to think about. So often we're thinking about other people. Let's start with ourselves, right? He'll say that over in chapter 7. Hey, get the log out of your eye when you're worrying about the little speck of sawdust in somebody's eye, right? Starts with me. God, help me to see me. Make sure I realize, you know what, I'm broken and broke. And God, I'm a piece of work. God, work on me. But help me to do the right thing. And then what do I do with others? And so he's speaking about mercy here. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. They themselves, literally in the Greek, it's an emphasis on the they themselves shall receive mercy. Well, what is mercy? Mercy is seeing people that are in misery and having compassion on them. Now, there's two ideas behind that. Seeing people in misery, we often think of grace and mercy, and that's good. Grace, of course, gives us pardon. Mercy gives you relief. Grace gives you, what you didn't deserve. Mercy doesn't give you what you do deserve. But sometimes there's people that are in misery, and there's a sense in which mercy is compassionate, right? Compassion in action. You have goodwill towards someone. That's important. There is an aspect of it that sees those who are in great need, just like God sees us in great need. And man, he has mercy towards us. Amen? I'm so grateful he's merciful towards us. You see the situation someone is in, and you take action on their behalf. Someone in distress, and you're moved with compassion towards them. Now, spiritually, God's moved with compassion towards us, seeing us in deep distress and need. Y'all realize I was sinking deep in sin, far from the oceans, right? Far from the shore. Amen? Am I the only one? Amen. Praise the Lord. He saw me and he had compassion. Amen. He didn't put us in a lifeboat. He gave us the life vest, Jesus. Amen. Jesus saves us, not the church, okay? Jesus saved me. Jesus saved you. God saw us. And that's mercy in action when you have that compassion and you see those in need. But there is a spiritual aspect which is probably, I think, really important for us, and that is the forgiveness aspect. The spiritual aspect is seeing someone that is in need of forgiveness, in need of pardon, because they've wronged you, or they've wronged your family. And there's plenty of examples in the Bible. You know, think of in Genesis, Joseph, right? Think about his life. I mean, his brothers wanted to kill him. Yeah. And then that wasn't enough. They said, well, we can't, you know, praise God, one of them interceded and said, why don't we just sell them to them slave traders right there? So they did that, deceived his daddy. Then he went down there. He's down there and sold. And in Potiphar's house, he's falsely accused, right? Gets thrown in prison. But you have to ask yourself, Potiphar should have killed him, but he didn't, because he probably knew his wife was, well, anyways. All right? Then he's in prison. He interprets dreams. Oh, man, yeah, we'll watch out for you. Well, no, that didn't happen either. Until it was expedient years later. Oh, I know someone that interprets dreams. And finally, God brings him out. And even in the midst of all that, then the brothers come. The brothers come, the ones who wanted to kill him, the ones who despised him, the ones who had no regard for him. All right? And what did he do? He had mercy. Man, he had mercy. Moved, though mistreated, though grievously mistreated. I mean, you stop and think, even when he was elevated, did he ever go look for the cup holder and say, you know what, I sat down in that prison for 14, why don't you go sit in the prison? I don't think he did that, you know? Although we don't, you know, it's all extrapolation from my mind, just thinking about it. Wonder if he did. No, he didn't. I don't think he did. I think he knew the power of mercy, and he showed it, and he shared it. You know, you find other examples of that. Even David. I mean, you got a king chucking spears at you, right? And you've got the opportunity to kill him in a cave. But he didn't do it. He showed mercy. And that's the lives of God's saints, right? Knowing the just, the right standard of God, they fear God, and they have a faith that forgives. A faith that shows mercy to those that have done them wrong. And that's good. And it's required. That's what the prophet Micah told us. It's good for you and I to say that. Ready? Let's practice one time. I forgive you. Can you all say it with me? I forgive. Now, come on now. I didn't joke. You need to say it louder. I'm going to say it all night, okay? I forgive you. Man, that's powerful stuff right there. And then to mean it. Not just to say it, but to love to say it. I forgive you. I don't hold that against you. I could, but I don't want to. And to show and to share. Now, how do you do that? Pastor Chris, you don't know what wrong. Well, I just gave you the example of Joseph, okay? Let me give you another example, though. Because this one was totally innocent. Jesus. And all that he took for you and for me, undeserving. All that he did on our behalf. I mean, that's the only way we can be moved to show that mercy, is we realize what he did for us. And the mercy that he has shown us. Now, if we are off, listen carefully, if we are authentic believers, listen to what the promise is. Listen, when we show mercy, here's the amazing thing, they themselves, the ones who are merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Now, in the margin of your Bible, just write this. 6:14-15, right? That's chapter 6, Matthew, verses 14, 15. Just flip over. It's two pages in my Bible. It might be two or three in yours. Look over to chapter 6, what Jesus says. Later in the Sermon on the Mount, after teaching how to pray, which, by the way, in the Sermon on the and his instruction on how to pray in verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we do what? Forgive our debtors. And then later in verses 14 and 15, now, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive yours. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, oof, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's some heavy stuff right there, y'all. Listen, I prove the authenticity of my faith that I am one who has received mercy by my willingness to show mercy, to not be exacting of someone else, to hold it over their head. well, I'm going to wait till they get X right, Y right, Z right, do this, this, and this. Then I'll forgive them. That's what I'll do. You are in more bondage than they are. Can I just be honest with you? An unwillingness. When you and I hold something over someone's head, I'm telling you, y'all, the quicker we say, I forgive you. Do not hold that against you. Man, it is liberating for your own soul. Not just for them, but for your soul. Man, it is so liberating. Run swiftly to it. Now, you say, well, they haven't repented yet. Well, I agree. You don't have to, you can have that forgiveness in your heart and still wait. God, please open their eyes and help them realize it. But when they come in forgiveness, when you and I ask, God, keep my heart soft, keep my heart humble, keep my heart, Lord, willing, gracious to show mercy, so that when they do, man, forgive quickly, quickly, lovingly. This is the amazing thing that we find throughout Scripture. This point of, you know, forgiving our debts as we forgive our debtors. Why would he say that? Well, Jesus gave a parable about that, right? Over in Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Later in Matthew's gospel. I wrote that in the margin of my Bible too. It's the parable of the unmerciful servant. You remember him? He owed his master like this immense amount of money, maybe $20 million. Let's just say it that way, okay? A debt impossible for him to repay. Oh, have mercy on me. I'll pay you back. Yeah, right. He's not going to pay him back. And he pleads and pleads and pleads. And his master amazingly shows him compassion. He forgave his entire debt. Whew. You know, he's saying, praise the Lord. And it, well, he walked out. And he goes, and then he finds one of the slaves who owes him something, right? And what does he do? Hey, you owe me $2,000. Pay me back. I'll pay you back. No, you won't. I'm throwing you in prison. The other fellow slaves, they hear about this injustice, right? And they go to the master. And he summons that wicked servant. And he says, you wicked slave, I canceled all your debts because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had on you? And of course, he turned him over to the jailers who tossed him into prison until he could pay back what he owed. And of course, the summary there is, this is how your heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. And then it's on that heels that you get the whole question, well, how many times should we forgive then? Seven times, right? Seven times 70. Now, you're not counting to 490, y'all, okay? The picture is, it's endless. Be willing to forgive. And this is for religious people who can be really exacting of others, right? And not realize how desperately we need to be forgiven. And in fact, that's the interesting thing in chapter 6 when he talks about forgiving and praying and not forgiving others, because you had the religious folks, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and don't be like them. Don't have all your, you know, your legalistic, ritualistic religion and be unwilling to do what the Lord requires of you. Show mercies. You see, it's a real penetrating test for us, right? If I have no mercy to those who are, how about physically in distress, economically in distress, spiritually in distress? It's all of these things, right? Jesus, if the Spirit of Christ within us, then we look on the crowds like he does as sheep that have been run over, right? I mean, we do this really well here. I praise the Lord that we have a burden for our community. I mean, I'm grateful that we see and we minister, and the Lord opens up the doors for us to do that. I pray we net that helps to keep us humble and meek, y'all, and always mindful. But it's not just those physical needs and those economical needs, but it's the spiritual needs as well that we've got to see, and to put our faith into practice. It's like the Good Samaritan who showed mercy. the religious priest, the religious Levite, right? They're leaving worship, heading down from Jerusalem, down to Jericho. So they're not going up to worship. They're going away from worshiping at the house of the Lord. And they see a man apparently dead, so they pass over on the other side and didn't show any mercy. But the Good Samaritan did. And took and bandaged up the wounds and then took him to the next village and said, listen, I'll pay the cost, whatever it is. Take care of him. Do what's necessary. That act of mercy, right, is the compassion we should have. And when we realize, listen, we do that for the physical needs because of the immense spiritual needs that Christ has met on our behalf, our great debt that he's paid, we do that. Now, why the physical and the spiritual, Pastor Chris? Why do I emphasize those two things? What's fascinating, over in John's epistle, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 17, John says it this way. Hey, if any one of you has material possessions and you see your brother in need but have no pity on him, how does the love of God really reside within you? Right? Our faith, y'all, the spiritual aspect, it affects the physical things we do, right? The material things that we do. And I want us to be authentic in our faith. We who have been forgiven so much, we who have been mercied in so much, we whom God has shown compassion on so much, how much more should we be merciful? How much more should we be forgiving? How much freer should we be releasing grudges? Some people, like, that's their treasured possession. They're going to hold on to it at all costs. Man, you can be free tonight. Don't be chained by that. Be free and experience God's mercy. You can forgive those who've wronged you. Praise the Lord tonight. It's all because of the precious blood of Christ. Amen. This is a wonderful, liberating attitude to have. I want to encourage you tonight. You know, before you go to bed tonight, just, Lord, is there anyone that I'm holding something over their head and I need to just tell them I forgive you? They may not, listen, they may need to just hear that from you or me. That may be what woos them to Christ. And they say, how can you forgive me after I've hurt you so much? That, actually, you taking the lead there, you may open up the door where they realize, how can you do that? I know I hurt you. I know I did wrong to you. And that's when you have the opportunity. Well, let me tell you about the debt I owed. I couldn't pay, but Christ paid for me. Who knows that God might not use it in that way? Let him. Let him do that, okay? Mercy's good stuff, amen? Amen. Let's not just receive it, let's share it. That's the parable, that's the beatitude tonight. That's what Christ teaches us. Father.